Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Welcome back from the 420 break. The finest of guests, former U.S. Attorney James Santel, my good friend Jim. Appreciate you coming around this fine Friday afternoon. Strange weather, but you know, everything in this world is strange these days. Like,
and we're delighted to be in Wisconsin, even with our peculiar springtime weather.
Well, Jim, the peculiar ruling of the U.S. Supreme Court this week in regards to the Wisconsin redistricting maps. And I totally got this one wrong, and I like to play armchair lawyer, but I totally missed the boat on this. Because once the Wisconsin Supreme Court had chosen the governor's maps, well, I didn't even think there was cause for appeal. I mean, effectively, this is still a win for Republicans, but they did appeal. They threw a Hail Mary to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the courts had turned down, Pennsylvania, turned down North Carolina. I thought they had told Alabama too close to an election. And then they waded right in up to their necks in the redistricting case here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got very, let's just say, advancing timelines in regards to people qualifying for the ballot here. And I have no idea what elective district I might live in, Jim. So first and foremost, what was your reaction to the court, you know, wading in with the shadow docket, not even briefing in oral arguments?
Right. And that's where you begin with this. It may not be the substantive thing that I'll comment about, but it is a great concern because it's difficult, if not impossible, to reconcile this decision, as you say, to weigh in on this, to become involved in this particular case, when you've made these other rulings that it's too close to elections, that the court, you know, is not particularly primed, not ready to weigh in on these political issues, do other things like that. It is difficult to reconcile this particular decision with those other cases where they have declined to act. And that's number one. And so that's a difficult thing to swallow. Second, again, TikTok. We are right here in Wisconsin on the time when nomination papers will be released. In about 3 weeks from now, they've got to be back in by June 1. And so the timing of this also is problematic. Having said all of that, I'll also say, Mike, that I've been taken aback a little bit by the fact that there seems to be this hair on fire response and the notion that the Supreme Court, as I saw in with some politicians, some other groups saying, tossed out the maps, gave the Republicans what they want, you know, installed a 10 years of Republican leadership. That's not this opinion. And so I think it's very important for you, as you just indicated, as you have analyzed this appropriately, your listeners to understand what the Supreme Court did and what it didn't do. It didn't toss out the entire map. What it said was, it's looking at these 6 to 7 districts, majority black districts, principally in the Milwaukee area, and said that as to those districts, adding that additional district in that category, Brian Hagedorn, the author of this order, you didn't do the proper analysis. Go back and do more analysis on that and come back to us again.
But Jim,
what that means.
Sir, sorry to interrupt you, Jim. Jim Santel, my fine guest. But Jim, the finding using the Voting Rights Act and saying you've erred in your ruling, it effectively was a ruling of what? Reverse racism. Too much black representation. That's not what we meant in the Voting Rights Act as we've interpreted it. Jim, you know, the alternative map contracts the districts down to 5. As I understood the ruling of Hagedorn said, well, 7 may be permissible and 5 may not be permissible. It might be another violation of the Voting Rights Act in the other direction. But Jim, to use VRA as the justification seems, that's the crazy part, at least to me, sir.
It is, absolutely. And I'm not disputing that at all. I'm simply saying, let's think about what will probably happen here. Brian Hagedorn, as you just indicated, did write a very good opinion here explaining what was going on. And the Supreme Court says, well, we want more evidence. We want you to do more analysis. I'm not embracing that response. I'm not embracing saying that, yes, under the Voting Rights Act, that's what they needed to do. I'm thinking forward and saying, okay, what is Brian Hagedorn and the other three, obviously Rebecca Dalet and Jill Karofsky and Ann Walsh Bradley, they're going to come back and they're going to do what the Supreme Court said, which is, okay, we'll look at this additional district. We'll do this very intense local appraisal. We'll make the findings we need to do, which the governor, I think, has already said he'll be a part of. And we'll embrace exactly what we have already done. and reaffirm, we'll do our homework, if you will, and put the exact same maps in place. That's my prediction about what will happen here.
But the governor, Tony Evers, the Democratic governor, has offered to alter his maps as well, Jim. And they call that the legislative council, the Republicans' representative, called that an 11th hour remedy. But effectively, Evers agreed, or at least said, I'll be amenable. I'll come up with six majority-minority districts.
Sure. And again, all of that to indicate that, you know, there's some reasonableness on that side. My point is simply that I agree with you entirely. The VRA, the Voting Rights Act invocation, I think is simply a way to, again, throw this into some disarray, some considerable disarray, not with a real sense of what should and can happen here. I think Brian Hagedorn and the other three are bright enough to be able to meet that standard and articulate what they need to do to justify either what they've already done or make those modest adjustments that are not going to substantially throw all of this out. And so
Are you confident that Hagedorn won't simply say, well, it's a binary choice. We tried hamburger A, that was Tony Evers' maps. Well, all we have left to choose from are the Republican legislative maps. That's my fear, Jim.
Right. I think, and it's appropriate concern. I don't think anybody can predict with certainty. I don't read Brian Hagedorn's majority opinion before as setting the groundwork, if you will, even in this language in which he sort of indicates that, yes, we're not sure about 6 to 7 districts, but it seems to be consistent. I don't see in that opinion someone who's now suddenly going to wake up and say, oh my goodness, the Supreme Court now made me realize how wrong I was before. And so now I'm going to go in this completely different direction and embrace maps that, again, do not, in fact, support the least change approach which we adopted. He is wedded to this least change approach. The governor's maps before, whether they're slightly altered or there's a sufficient justification, he can do that and the others will join in on that. I just don't see Brian Hagedorn suddenly going to the other side and adopting a completely different regime, which is not consistent with what he has said up to this point.
James Hentel, you got more time for me, man?
I do, absolutely.
Outstanding, because I've embraced your approach. I started reading lawsuits this week, and I started, pardon me, with the Trump lawsuit. Trump v. Hillary Clinton, the DNC.
And everyone else.
And lots of other people. I'm surprised I wasn't on that list. Come back, my fine guest, James Hentel. More Devil's Advocates. We'll